hello everyone, and thank you for joining us online at Lakeside Christian Church. Throughout this month, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and what it looks like for us to have a relationship, a dynamic personal relationship with God's Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk about this idea that God breathes on us when we're exhausted. The idea in Scripture of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is wind or breath. And so when we talk about God breathing on us, he breathes his spirit into our lives in those ways and areas where it's most needed, where he's most needed. And so God breathes when I'm exhausted. I'm kind of curious. I'm sure everybody will have different answers, maybe even in your family or even between you and your kids or your spouse. You might have different opinions about this. But right now, how many of you would say that you are more exhausted than what you were before all this began? A month ago, month and a half ago, how many of you would say you're more exhausted? People in the room are raising their hands, so I think a lot of people would say definitely. How many of you would say you're less exhausted right now than you were a month or a month and a half ago? You know, we got some people in the room that are sort of raising their hand up. Well, some of you have told me, believe it or not, that you feel refreshed. And some of you have talked about how you've been unplugging from the rat race. You've turned the TV off. You're enjoying time with family and friends. You're getting to know your neighbors. You're cooking healthy meals, exercising. Have you seen all these people posting their exercise routines on Facebook? There's people really enjoying this time. There's folks knocking out some of those honeydew projects that have been accumulating for a while. People are posting photos of 1,000-piece puzzles that they've completed, books that are being read. Folks are taking walks. They're resting well. Maybe it's true of you that this whole thing has been like an extended Sabbath or even an extended time of rest or vacation. If that's true, that is awesome. I have a neighbor who started coloring every brick on the front of her house using different color chalk. It's quite impressive, but they're very relaxed. They seem like they're really enjoying this time and doing lots of family activities, and that happened to be one of them. But of course, some of you, you don't feel refreshed at all. Maybe if you've been working on the front lines of this pandemic and you're a medical professional or you're doing some essential service or some essential role, you don't feel rested at all during this time. If you're a business owner or a manager and your business has been declining and your doors have been shut or you're trying to figure out how to pay the bills, this isn't a time of relaxation at all for you. You're exhausted. If you're a parent juggling work and e-learning and Zoom meetings, there's this new thing that they talk about, that people have Zoom fatigue because their kids are on it all day long for school and the parents are on it for work. And maybe that's you. If you're a parent, you have Zoom fatigue. The kids have been restless and become increasingly rambunctious. Maybe there's family tension. If you have loved ones who have become sick or are at risk or have isolated themselves for safety during this time, if you've lost income, if you're struggling to figure things out, if you're someone dealing with increased marital conflict and family challenges, you aren't refreshed at all in this season. In fact, you're just the opposite. Maybe you feel distressed. Maybe you're tired, exhausted, beat, drained, wiped out, worried, anxious. You're doing everything you can to maybe just function. If you're the first type of person, this message might not be of that much interest to you, at least right now. But if you're the second type of person, this message is going to be very important to you. What does it mean that God breathes when we're exhausted? Well, we experience exhaustion in very different ways, in very distinct ways. For example, there is physical exhaustion. Like in our bodies, in our flesh, there's a physical exhaustion. But there's also an inner spiritual kind of exhaustion. There are distinct types of exhaustion. And this isn't something that we always think about. We don't always have a language for this. But we're affected by both types of exhaustion. And in Scripture, you see both types of exhaustion mentioned. I want to give you this morning three passages that talk about exhaustion and the kind of strength that God provides us through His Spirit. And each passage kind of builds on one another, and it deepens our understanding of what it looks like for God to strengthen us. The first passage I want to mention is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, "Therefore, we do not give up." Boy, so many of us, man, we want to give up. We're at the end of our strength. We're fatigued. We're drained. But we don't give up. And what Paul says is, even though our outer person is being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed day by day. In this verse, I just want you to notice the dichotomy that exists between something that's happening outwardly, physically, in the natural, and something different that's happening inwardly in our body. I've always read this verse and been fond of this verse in the way that it's worded in the New International Version. In the New International Version, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day." Isn't that the thing that we most desire right now, is to be renewed and strengthened inwardly? And I don't need to tell you this, there's an enormous difference between physical outward and spiritual inward exhaustion. I don't know about you, but there's times where I find myself very tired physically. I can cope with most any kind of physical tiredness. But when we're spiritually drained, that's quite another challenge. When we have spiritual energy and spiritual vitality, when God's renewing us on the inside, boy, we can be physically tired, but that's not a showstopper for us. It's when we're spiritually drained, when we don't feel refreshed on the inside, that's the most difficult thing to manage. But boy, when we're spiritually refreshed, we're an unstoppable force for good and for God. And when we're spiritually refreshed, we can push most any physical limitation that exists. And so outwardly we're wasting away, inwardly we're being renewed. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Here's a second passage that also kind of explores this dichotomy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Paul says, "Train yourselves in godliness, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds promise for both the present life and also for the life to come." I started just thinking of the dichotomy here between physical training and this spiritual fortification of the inner person that the Bible talks about. Let's talk about just physical strength for a moment. In our culture, you hear a lot about physical training, physical discipline, and it has tremendous value. So think about what happens when you physically train. You're exerting your body. You're stretching the ligaments in your body. You're tearing down and rebuilding muscle tissue. You're building up lung capacity. And the more oxygen that your lungs can breathe in and process, the more oxygen that your heart can pump throughout your body to every cell that exists, the stronger you become. So physical training is all about breathing in physically and supplying the body with what it needs. And physical training has value. It's limited, but it's still valuable to us. Many of you know Steve and Christy Helm. Steve's an elder at Lakeside, and as a couple, they teach, they homeschool, they do a lot of encouragement and mentoring and discipleship. They're foster parents, an incredible family. They have a son by the name of Daniel. And Daniel is an elite athlete. By any definition, he's an elite athlete. And for fun, I called him up and was talking to him just the other night. And I said, tell me, like when you were in junior high, what did it look like for you to physically train? And he told me that he was barely familiar with weights when he was in junior high, and that once his dad made him squat 135 pounds, and I'm sure he was joking, he said it brought him to tears. 135 pounds, if I were to try to squat that today, it would bring me to tears even still. In fact, I'm just trying to stand up without assistance. You know, that's my goal right now. But in junior high, he was working at 135 pounds squatting, which is great. In high school, he talked about how the intensity of his workouts grew. And depending on the season that he was in for sports, depending on what he was playing, you know, the workouts took different shape and form. But he learned to work opposing muscle groups and learned how different types of reps accomplish different purposes. Like you might want to build mass, or you might want to build strength, or you might want to work on endurance. And so he really thought in high school that he was hitting the weights pretty hard. But then came college. A lot of you know Daniel's story. He played for Tennessee for a year, and then he went to Duke University. And at college, how do you think college workouts compared to high school workouts? Well, the intensity of his workouts grew exponentially. He had to lift daily. Trainers pushed every muscle in his body past the point of failure. He had to compete with guys, lift with guys, work out with guys, play against guys that were 3 or even 4 years older than him, that had been training far longer and were far stronger. He had to work with a nutritionist to set goals and optimize his diet for energy, for performance, for his muscles to recover after these kind of workouts. In the NFL, Daniel plays for the San Francisco 49ers. And even in the NFL, that intensity continues of working out, but the focus is on staying healthy and how you can optimize your strength for the particular role that you're in. And in the NFL, you know, you're becoming an older man and you're no longer a young buck, but you're pushing through injuries and pains and you're rehabilitating different muscles and different things, and there's a lot more going on. And so when Daniel's healthy, he says that he can squat 484 pounds. I was so disappointed to hear that number. I thought, you know, if he could get to 485, I'd be impressed. But 484, he can only get to 484, not to 485. I'm just kidding. But 484 pounds. I need to have Daniel come over to my house and help me lift up some of these wood carvings that I work on, because I have to use a winch and a crane in order to move them. They're so heavy. But what a far cry from 135 pounds. Paul in this passage says that discipline, that kind of training, it does have value, but it's limited. My take on this is God gives each and every one of us a life to live. He gave me a body. He gave you a body. He gives each of us one life. And we are to be stewards of these bodies, of this life, of our health. We don't have to become elite athletes, thankfully, but we do need to eat properly and stay hydrated and rest well and stay active and get exercise and stretch and use all the different parts of our body that we need to use, watching our calories, staying sober. We're to take care of these bodies. And so there is a physical part to this equation that we need to tend to, and it does have value. You can't bypass the physical self-care of your bodies. You know, I know folks that pump their bodies full of chemicals and toxins and drugs, and they smoke. Well, you're going to be exhausted if you don't take care of your physical body and temple. If you don't manage stress properly, if you're not taking the medications that you need to take. The Bible is actually full of so much practical wisdom about discipline and training, taking care of our body. Paul talks about it. We should want to serve God with these bodies into very old age. You know, there's people in the church that will call me out at times and say, hey, you need to be thinking about this and that. And their concern is taking care of the body, that you can serve God as fully and as longly as possible. You know, our physical bodies are not inconsequential. However, there is something even greater, and that is spiritual training, training for godliness. outwardly, this body could very well be wasting away, but paradoxically, inwardly, we're being renewed and strengthened. There's different types of exhaustion that we need to tend to. So what does it mean for God's Spirit to breathe on us, for God's Spirit to strengthen us, even though outwardly we're exhausted? How can we rely on God for strength? Well, let me say a few more things about the physical aspect of strength before we talk about the spiritual aspect of God strengthening us. In the Navy SEALs, they teach warriors to tap into their tactical reserves. All right, so there's physical training, there's physical discipline. A major thing is tapping into your tactical reserves. Your tactical reserves are this: every single person in life, whatever someone gives you a task to do, we always hold back. Some of us hold back 5, 10%. Some people hold back 15 to 20%. For example, where you're sitting right now this morning as you're listening online, I want you to raise your hand as high as you can raise it. All right, some of you in the room here, raise your hand as high as you can raise it. You got it up? Good. All right, now, reach even higher. Go even a little higher. And it's an amazing thing that psychologically, our brain is hardwired that when we're told to do something, we always hold back just a little bit because we want that tactical advantage. Should we get into a bad situation? Should we get trapped or be in danger? We need just that extra 5 or 10 or 20% to get us out of trouble. We always hold back just a little bit. If you're a Navy SEAL, you're taught to tap into your tactical reserves. If you're an elite athlete, you're told to train and discipline your body, your muscles, even past the point of failure. I'll tell you, from time to time, another type of physical strength we hear about is adrenaline. Adrenaline kind of helps us perform superhuman feats. You can live on adrenaline for a time. You can benefit from adrenaline from a time. But if you stay on adrenaline day after day, night after night, it begins to have a psychological effect on you. A lot of your post-traumatic stress disorder is purely that a person has stayed on adrenaline and hasn't rested, and they're always on and they haven't turned off, and they've done it for weeks and months and years in some distressing circumstance. Veterans at war, a person that's facing danger or abuse, on and on it goes. But every once in a while, you hear these extraordinary feats of adrenaline where maybe there's a child trapped and the adrenaline kicks in and some mother out bench presses Daniel Helm or out squats Daniel Helm and lifts a car off of a person or a tree, or they bend steel or something, or they remove some enormous chunk of debris in order to save a loved one. That's adrenaline. That's like superhuman stuff. Another type of physical strengthening is something that you read about in the Bible. There are these miraculous moments when God endows a person, and I'm talking physically, with strength to do some amazing thing like slay a lion or kill a bear with their bare hands or a giant or even an entire army of 1,000 people or even 10,000 or more. You know, you can queue up in your Bible app the story of Gideon or Samson or King David. And there's these extraordinary stories where God is anointing a particular person at a particular time and place to accomplish some extraordinary thing that is part of his purpose and plan for them. When the Bible talks about strengthening, there is physical strengthening, but there's a kind of strengthening that the Holy Spirit can give us. The Bible doesn't have necessarily the physical discipline or the tactical reserves or the adrenaline or mind over matter techniques or some miracle, you know, like that's not the kind of strengthening that's most prominent in the scriptures, especially in the New Testament. It's not that God can't or won't or doesn't, you know, strengthen us in these kinds of physical ways. God can do whatever God wants. He's God. But my point is that the Bible talks about another kind of strengthening that's particularly relevant to us. And so I offer you a third passage that talks about how God's Spirit breathes when we're exhausted. It's Ephesians chapter 3. And I want you to look at verses 14 through 21. And I just want to break it down for you a couple of verses at a time. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16 begins this way. Paul says, that he's kneeling before the Father in prayer, the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. And he says, I pray that God may grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power. Where? In your inner being. And how? Through his Spirit. Where? In your inner being. And how? Through his Spirit. This is one of the most important passages in the scriptures that talk about how God breathes when we're exhausted. I would submit to you that this inner strengthening is the strength and the power that matters most. This inner strengthening by God's Spirit is the kind of strength and power that God most readily gives, and we can ask for it anytime, anywhere, any circumstance where it's needed. This is the kind of strength and power that Paul tells us God is most glorified in giving to us. You know, there's a place for physical strength, physical discipline, tactical reserves, adrenaline, even God miraculously intervening in a circumstance to give us strength to do some feat. But God doesn't typically enable us miraculously. A miracle is a miracle because it's a rare occurrence. But what God does to us, for us, each and every time we ask, is he strengthens us inwardly. And that's really the kind of strength that we most need, is it not? To be strengthened inwardly. All right, so there's physical strengthening, but then there's inner strengthening, spiritual strengthening by God's Spirit. Well, what does that kind of strengthening look like? And how can we tell the difference between that kind of strengthening and other kinds? What's different about what Paul's asking for here in these verses? So let's go back to our passage for a moment, and I want you just to notice that Paul tells us very explicitly what inner strengthening looks like in three unique ways. First of all, inner strengthening looks exactly like faith. So Paul's praying for inner strengthening, and in verse 17, the first part of it, he says, I'm praying that you'll be strengthened by the Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Inner strengthening looks exactly like faith. So right now we're in the midst of this pandemic, and people are panicked about everything, and they're expecting their demise, D-E-M. And so we're pandemicked, all right? You break the word pandemic down, and we're panicked, and we think a demise is coming. But what is the posture of faith? We're exhausted, we're worn out from worry and anxiety or whatnot. What does it look like for God to strengthen us by his Spirit? Well, it looks like faith. We begin trusting God's promises in the face of whatever threatens. We're obeying God's words. We're continuing to exercise faith while everybody else is exercising fear. Everyone's freaked out, but not us, because God strengthened us. What does it look like for God to strengthen your faith during this time? You know, I was thinking, you know, God, I'm trusting you to provide for my every need. God, I'm trusting you to protect my family, my wife, myself, people that I know and love, this church during this time. God, I'm trusting your eternal promises. God's strengthening our faith right now. And when we pray, God breathes, and that's the result. Now, Paul also mentions that inner strengthening looks exactly like love. So let's just look at the second part of verse 17 through verse 19. Here's what Paul says. He says, I'm praying for you to be strengthened in your inner faith, in your inner being by God's Spirit, that you might have faith. But then he says, I pray that you also, being rooted and firmly established in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the length and width and height and depth of God's love, and to know Christ's love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. You ever notice when you're physically exhausted, it brings out the worst in you? When you're exhausted, it brings out the worst in your marriage. It brings out the worst with your kids, with your work, with relationships. But when God strengthens us by his Holy Spirit, suddenly everything, even a nasty pandemic, God forbid a recession, God forbid a Great Depression, God forbid calamity and death, when God strengthens us, suddenly all these things that are ruining and wrecking and destroying and causing people to waste away, suddenly those same things bring out God's character, brings out Christ's kind of love in us. Just think about it. Everyone else is becoming more fearful, greedy, self-protective in their exhaustion and their fear. And yet, here we are, as we pray to God, we're letting Christ's kind of love, self-sacrifice, generosity shine through us. We become like stars shining in a darkened universe. Isn't it amazing to think about? God's going to strengthen my faith when everyone else is fearful. God's going to strengthen my love when everybody else is imploding around me. Now, the third way that God strengthens us inwardly is with hope. Inner strengthening looks exactly like hope. So Paul continues in this prayer. He talks about having faith. He talks about having love. But look at verse 20. Paul talks about hope. He says, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond what we're asking, or even what we can think about, according to the power that's at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Inner strengthening looks exactly like hope. And so this is where we see a stark contrast between physical strengthening and inner strengthening. Physical training, physical strength has its advantages. But those advantages are often short-lived. They're often very temporary. Our physical strength is often quite fleeting. Outwardly, our physical strength is wasting away. This physical strength is the kind of strength that the world seeks and that people in the world glory in. But that physical strength only takes us so far. But when God strengthens us by his Spirit, it brings about something transcendent, something lasting, something eternal that outlives us, that lasts for generations. I mean, the inner strengthening is something that becomes contagious to our kids and their grandkids and the great-grandkids. Generation after generation benefits and is inspired by this inner strengthening that Paul's praying for. It's a kind of strength that doesn't fizzle out and burn out. It goes on forever and ever. You know, most of the things we spend our physical energy on die with us. But the strength God gives us enables us to be part of things that glorify Christ for eternity. That's the kind of strength that I want. I want faith. I want love. I want hope. I want something that benefits me not just for this life, but for eternity. And not just me, but generation after generation that follows in our footsteps. I want that kind of strength. Now, I mentioned that there were three passages that talked about this difference between physical and spiritual strengthening. We just looked at Ephesians, and we looked at how there's an inner strengthening that happens with faith, with hope, and with love. But actually, all these passages that we've looked at today talk about hope. For example, let's just for a moment go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. I purposely didn't read the part that's in yellow here, okay? So the first part says, we don't give up. Why? Because even though our outer person's being destroyed, our inner person is being renewed. But the whole rest of this talks about hope, that God's going to strengthen us with hope. Our momentary light affliction. I don't know if that's how you characterize what's going on in your life right now, but when you have the perspective of hope, you're free to characterize even the big stuff right now as light and momentary. Like it seems like the universe to us right now. But in the perspective of hope, in the perspective of all eternity, what we're going through right now is pretty small. It's light, it's momentary. And what Paul says is it's producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So that we don't focus on what's seen, we focus on what's unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You see, inner strengthening, it looks exactly like hope. That God's doing something profoundly far beyond the physical and the natural in our lives if we just invite him to breathe on us and strengthen us in this way. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verses 8 through 10. Again, I didn't read the yellow part, but training of the body, yes, it has limited benefits, but godliness is beneficial in every way since it holds promise, look at here, for the present life, but also for the life to come. Oh, I don't just need strength for this life. I need to be strengthened for what's to come, the life to come. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. For this reason, we labor and strive because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people and especially of those who believe. I assure you, God wants you and me to be physically strengthened. And I believe that for most of us, it's already in our ability to know how to be physically strengthened. You can go get a coach. You can go get a trainer. You can go talk to a nutritionist, a dietitian. You can talk to a doctor. You can talk to a psychologist about how to manage stress and all these kinds of things. You probably know a lot of things that you could do to better take care of yourself physically. But in this season particularly, let's not fail to ask, to seek, to invite God's Spirit to strengthen us in a way that matters for this life and even beyond, and also for future generations. Let's ask God to breathe by his Spirit on our exhausted souls. God's probably not going to be glorified if we by our physical strength, but he's most glorified when his Spirit strengthens us. Let's reflect that kind of strength during this time. You know, the best part of this is we can be strengthened just by asking. Just by asking, just by praying. Paul prayed for us to be strengthened. And so this morning, I just want to take a moment at the end of this message, and I just want to pray for all of us, myself included, by the way, but for all of us to be strengthened in a way that really matters. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do pray that our bodies be strengthened. We pray that your grace would shine through us despite our physical weakness. I pray that we would take steps that we need to be more healthy physically. That's not inconsequential. Help us to embrace wisdom and to live in wisdom in regard to our physical estate. But Father, we want to be strengthened in a very profound and particular way by your Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you would strengthen our hearts with faith. That when opportunity presents itself, we serve. That we obey, that we trust you, that we follow you, that we take hold of every one of your promises, that we believe. You know, when we exercise faith, we're gaining a capacity to bring glory to you. We pray that you would just stretch and strengthen and expand our faith greatly during this time. Father, we pray that you would strengthen our spirits to love with Christ kind of love. You know, he sacrificed his life. He put others first. That's the kind of love that we need to be strengthened to manifest and to demonstrate during this season. Father, it's so easy for us to grow weary in doing good. But during this season, strengthen us by your Spirit that we'd excel in your love, excel in faith. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen our minds with this hope that we have. That we not lose sight of our eternal calling, that your eternal purposes, your eternal glory, that what's unseen, that what's everlasting, we pray that that would be our guiding light during this time. Help us to be encouraged by hope, strengthened by hope. Boy, Father, we just echo Paul's prayer here in Ephesians and long and yearn and eagerly await your strengthening. Thank you for your Spirit. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.